Blog Talk Radio.
Round in the Red Sea.
Everybody to go on mute. Let's see here. Let's see who it is. Let's find out who it is. Okay. Alrighty, guys. Welcome to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, your Monday night radio show, GLCC's first women's show, designed with you in mind. So you need to be in it. You need to be calling in. So we can talk, so we can hang out. All right. As you know, those first two musical interviews that you heard and hear each time we come on the air, the Song of Moses, Exodus 15 in its entirety. And I love that song because it tells you our journey, you know, and how wonderful the Most High has been. We are so grateful to be his children. Aren't we happy? All right. And then there's Exodus 15, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, which is Shema, the Shema hero, Israel, the Lord. Our God is one. What an awesome statement. And we have to try to be one with him. You know what I mean? To be one with the Most High. Like, you know, I think Christ said it, right? That he wishes that we could be one like he and the Father are one in our thoughts, in our deeds, in how we do things. It's amazing. But at any rate, I'm your host, Sister Shirley, and co-host Sister Carol, who you hear in the background. Go ahead, Carol.
I'm here. Praise the Most High. Shalom, everyone.
Yeah. It's a wonderful night. I'm a little tired, but I am still here, okay?
Are we ever not tired?
No. Right now, it's a way of life, you know? It's just that way of life right now. And it's not simple because it's like I'm always tired, but I just work tired anyhow, you know? And, hey, it's just it. Hold on, somebody's asking me a question about DD. I did something. Oh, messed that up. Okay. Anyway, let's just get started. We are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of this roundtable conversation tonight, ask a question, make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327 and press 1. to enter the host queue. We're going to have our callers come in early tonight. We want to talk to you. We want to know what your questions are. So tonight is an open forum. But before we get started, we want to tell you, if you just want to listen in, you can simply go to the Blog Talk webpage, click on www.blogtalkradio.com, of course, and GOC Church, and look for Restoring the Daughter of Zion. All our programs are listed with Restoring the Daughter of Zion so that you know that's us, not just by topic. So you can also reach out to us via private email, restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. And if you have any problems with not hearing back from us, if you haven't heard back, mention it on the show tonight. We'll get to you. Or just, you know, tell us, pull our coat. We'll get to it, because sometimes we just don't get to it in time, but we are trying. It's just we've got a lot on our plate, a lot. So basically that's all I'm going to go through. Of course, you guys know you can get into the Hebrew Academy. I believe it's just starting again, right? Yeah, let me just see. I'll get that information so we can make that announcement. But I think almost all of it in there anyway. So anyway, at any rate, Carol, why don't you take us before the throne race, and let's ask the Most High. Let me see, is Jackie in? Jackie, are you here?
Shalom. Yes, I am.
Shalom, Jackie. Shalom. Sister Aura, are you here? Sister Aura.
Shalom. Shalom.
Yay, yay, yay. Sister Vitti, are you here?
Shalom, sisters. I'm here.
Okay. All right. Gary, you never press one, but I hope I can find you if I need you.
Oh, I didn't? All right. Let me press.
I don't know if it'll work once I have you in the host queue, but. At any rate, go ahead. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can fix that, like, really quick. Press one now, Carol. All right. Okay. That seems to work. That's wonderful. All right, Carol, if you could take us before the throne of grace, it would be marvelous.
Absolutely. Praise the Most High. I'm going to start out by reading Psalms 119, and don't get scared, guys. I won't read the whole thing. It's about 170.
It's a beautiful psalm.
But I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 12, maybe 13. Yeah. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Father, we thank you. We thank you tonight for one thing. We've numbered the scriptures and the Bible passages. You never did that, but Father, we understand that you know what we're discussing when we say Psalms 119. It is your word.
Amen.
I thank you for that psalm, Father. That psalm, one could live in that psalm probably for a year just thinking about the pieces, the different lines in your word, Father. I thank you for your psalms. Maybe one day all of the psalms will be put to music, Father, that we may learn with music. Your people are musical people, and we know we can learn anything if you put a tune to it, Father.
We thank you tonight for your holy word, for your precious name. We thank you for your blood-bought sacrifice, and you shed your blood on Calvary that gave us a way back to you to redeem us, Father, to redeem us from our own sins, that we turned our faces the other way when you asked, will we follow you? Will we keep your commandments?
Mm.
And our ancestors stated proudly, yes, we will. We hear and we shall do. Oh, Father, we all broke those promises, just as we've broken most of your commandments, Father. And we're asking you, as we try to find our way back to the beaten path, the way back to the narrow path, Father, that you will continue to guide us, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to come on this program to talk with our sisters and to commune into fellowship, Father. We thank you. We thank you for every time we have an opportunity to come on here, and we look in the direction. We look towards the hill from whence our help comes. Father, as we await the day of your return, Father. And we thank you and we praise you. If there's anyone listening that needs a touch from you tonight, Father, we're asking you to have mercy, to appoint us with grace. And as we continue this journey, Father, we ask that you give us another chance to say thank you, another chance to remember your name, and another chance to keep your statutes and commandments.
Amen.
We praise your name. In the name of Ahaya Bahashem Yeshaya Wawawak, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, all right. So tonight, it's your turn, listeners. We do have a host of questions that people have sent in via text, via email, and we just want to go over some of those questions tonight. And you can join in and give your thoughts about what you're thinking with respect to some of these questions also. So without further ado, let's just get started. Unless somebody else has something to bring. I did have something to say about that psalm you just read, and it left me that fast, darn it. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm, but I can't remember what it was I wanted to mention. But okay.
I love the part about how does a young man cleanse his ways. I love that.
So important.
That's the way we change, by keeping his commandments, right?
All right. So I'm going to start.
You know, I just wanted to say something, Cheryl, that the other day, and I don't think I said this last program, the other day I was sitting in the house and I was thinking that I had wasted my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you just feel like you could have accomplished so much more if you would have been going down the path that the Most High asked you to keep. And, you know, so I was sitting there and I was talking. My husband came in and I started talking to him. And he said to me, you know, you shouldn't beat yourself up so much, because, you know, I have a tendency to do that a lot. I do that with my children. I'm always apologizing to them that I didn't know what I know now so that I could have taught them more about the Most High. But this is what my husband said to me, to turn to Ecclesiastes 12. You know, I had promised my mother I was going to become a doctor, and I did not. And, you know, sometimes I think about that and wish that I would have. But now when I look at the medical field, I sometimes think, well, maybe it's a good thing, you know. But my husband said, my husband said to me, take out Ecclesiastes and read from the 12th to the 12th, you know, down. But he said, and further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And I read that, and I realized something, that even if you have a child that's very, very accomplished,
if he is not fearing God and keeping his commandments, his life is really what? A waste of time. He's spinning his wheels and wasting his time. And if any of our children, I don't care if they've gone to the moon and back or, you know, discovered some great cure, built some great empire, what good is it if he doesn't fear God and keep his commandments? And it almost made me cry, because my life isn't a waste of time. I fear God, and I'm trying to keep his commandments. And so I can say that, you know how that song that says, if I can just help somebody as I travel through this world, then my living will not be in vain. Amen. And I think us just being on this program, we've helped somebody out there. How do you guys feel?
I feel that way, but I got a scripture for you. I actually have two, but this first one, in 2nd Esdras 16:76, it says,
hang on, let me get there, sister. That's fast.
16:76.
Okay. Knock it out.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you keep my laws and my commands, says the Most High, you must not let your sins weigh you down or control you. Sin that you're thinking about, don't let that weigh you down. You know? And don't let that control you. Because Christ said he forgave you. We're going to have to move on. We got to move past that. And keep on. You know?
Thank you.
Keep on pressing towards the mark of the high calling, because sometimes we can let our past dictate our future by thinking there's no sense in asking God for forgiveness for this. There's no sense in trying anymore because I can't do it. Keep on pressing. Keep on trying. The Most High knows our frailties. He knows them. And we just have to keep on. Don't let it weigh you down. You go ahead on and keep the commandments and the law. All right?
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah. There was
That's
another
beautiful
one. Beautiful. Right, yeah. All right.
Amen.
I want to start. It says, one person wrote in and said, this is about forgiveness. She said, have I forgiven someone if I still feel something inside of me when I see them? Is there such a thing as forgive but not don't forget? Because if I forget the things this person has done to me, well, there is a famous quote by George Santayana, those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. And I have no interest in repeating this kind of abuse with this person who will remain anonymous or any other person that believes it's okay to abuse another being, physically or otherwise. Okay, good question. Anybody got something to add to say about that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You know what? My favorite quote is, and it's been like this for the past 15 years, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Mm.
If you learn to surrender your will, to the Most High, and if you're obedient in doing so, I mean, there's no good thing that he won't hold from you. You just got to have that love, that will, and know what he expects of us. And to me, it works for me, you know, whenever I quote that and I think on it, I feel free.
Amen.
So I hope that helps somebody.
Sister Jackie, can you expound on that at all?
So willing and obedient to eat the good of the land?
No, not on that, on what the sister said. And she's looking to see, have I first of all, has she forgiven someone? If they still feel something inside and they see the person. So let's say, you know, and I think we all can attest to that someone you've had situations with individuals, and then, you know, because they're either a family member or a brother or sister, and then they roll up in the same place where we are, and all of a sudden some kind of funny feeling comes over you. So she's asked first, has she forgiven them? Or is she fooling herself? That's number one.
I have definitely been in situations like that when I was younger, much younger in the Lord. And this one lady, she was working at my shop, and she was the first lady I ever fired. And I had such bad feelings towards her because she was spreading rumors like a cancer. And so, but I ran into her, and I felt really, really bad. And I had to ask myself, did I forgive her? So I just forgave her again. It doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven because you have some kind of feeling. Then you have to deal with the feeling, check the feeling to let the feeling know, hey, it's okay. I have forgiven her. And, yes, we're in the same space, and I'm going to give her room. And, you know, but at some point I didn't have those feelings towards her. I ran into her prior to, you know, after that, and I didn't feel the same way. So we just have to continue to do what's right, continue to forgive. You know, don't let up on it. If you think for a minute maybe I haven't forgiven that person, then just forgive again. Do it again.
I want to add this, that sometimes because of frailties in our innermost parts, we can struggle to forgive. I don't know if we have the ability, as Christ said, Christ said in Micah 7:19 that, you know, you will have mercy on us again. You will conquer our sins. You will throw away all our sins into the deepest part of the sea, you know, and into the world, sea of forgetfulness. And I don't know if we're all capable of doing that, because there was a person that I really, really couldn't stand. And then I saw that person had given their life to Christ, and I didn't know how to handle that. I was supposed to be joyful, happy that person did that, but I was mad at that person, and I couldn't get over it that easily. And I'm serious. This is just part of our, if someone hurts you bad enough, sometimes it's like, wow, okay. But you go along and you do forgive them in the end. You know, eventually it comes around, but I'm just trying to be honest that happened to me. And I know I tried to put it in the sea of forgetfulness, but I wasn't capable of others. I really hadn't grown enough to look upon that person and say, have mercy, because I had to ask the Most High for mercy. So I had to forgive that person too.
But I'm going to give you like the Funkin' Wagon on it. It says, forgiveness, if someone has something happening in their phone, I don't know what that is. Sounds like a car driving or something, I don't know. Okay, forgiveness is a psychological sense is the intentional and voluntary process by which one who may initially feel victimized undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding a given offense and overcomes negative emotions such as resentment and vengeance. Now, you know, that's not what the Most High necessarily says forgiveness is, but I think it's an interesting supposition, you know. There's one, it says forgiveness is about goodness, about extending mercy to those who have harmed us, even if they don't deserve it. It is not about finding excuses. I think it's interesting, though. Yeah. I like the part about extending mercy to them. But what about the part where she says, if you forget about it, subject to repeating it again? And I can't go with that 100%.
No.
You know, because that's the world's view of things and the Most High's view are 30 different things. And I think that we just have to trust the Most High that he's going to protect us. Now, if you're in an abusive relationship and someone has been physically abusing you, forgiveness doesn't mean sitting in that house and letting beat the crap out of you.
Right.
I think that's doing them more harm. It's doing them more harm than you could if you did something about it, meaning, you know, move out of that situation and what have you, because somebody could get killed. Somebody could go to jail. There could be a lot of repercussions. So forgiveness on that level comes in a lot of forms. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to add something before we move on?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I do.
I think it's kind of like it's like a reminder where your walk is in the Lord, and it lets you know that you're still dependent on the Lord, and you just have to reach out to him again and say, Lord, help me, because I'm not like that. You know, and every time it comes up, you have to keep reminding yourself. And then one day, because it is a process. It's like if you slam your hand in that door, it's not going to heal right away. It's going to take a while. You know what I'm saying? You're going to keep feeling that pain. So as the time goes on and as you keep doing things that make you heal, it will eventually heal. But there is the thing that we have to do, and that is always come back to the Father, because we have to remember what he's done for us. He forgave us, and we have some, I know if you really look and search your heart, you can find some things that you say, well, my God, how did he forgive me for that? You know what I'm saying? So, may not know about it or whatever. There are things, there's thoughts in our heads that come across that if anybody heard that thought, you know what I'm saying? So I'm saying we have to be, I think we have to forgive ourselves as well, because we are only human, but he says that we can do all things through Christ, and that's what we have to keep remembering. We can do all things through Christ, but we have
to
humble ourselves and let him know that we understand that we are weak and we cannot do this without him. And we're acknowledging that we cannot do without.
Hello.
Go on. Say what you were gonna say.
Yeah. Hello. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Betty. Who's gonna go?
Earlier today, I was on a chat with on Facebook, and there's this young man who killed his wife and three children, and so he decided that he would defend himself. But when he was in front of the judge, he was foolish, you know. He had his child come on the stand, and he did say he was sorry, but then he was saying that he was not sorry for what he did and how he did it, but he was just rambling all over the place. So, and people were saying, making comments as if he should rot in hell. they should throw him away. They should bring back the death chamber. They should they should kill him. You know, and so I'm looking at this young man, and I'm saying that, you know, that although he did a terrible act, don't he deserve some mercy as far as, because he looks like he is crazy. He's gone through the hard knocks of life. Something got him there. Oh, yeah, he should be punished, but there... there should be some type of mercy for him. So one woman says, oh, no mercy for him. She even effed him, you know. And I'm like, okay, it is written that chances happens to us all. So you could find yourself in the same situation. And you could be innocent, but you're being accused. So the word says, if you dig a grave for someone else, make sure you dig one for yourself, because there's a chance that you could find yourself in the same situation.
Yeah, that's a good point, Betty. You know, the scripture says to be careful how you stand, lest you fall. If we start acting like, oh, man, that guy, he's a piece of crap, and he should never have done what he did. I pray to God that I would never kill my children and my husband. I don't know. But I do understand what you're saying, that we have to be very careful how we judge. We have to judge righteously, but really, and truly, it's hard to just sit there and say.
And it also says do not rejoice over someone else's sorrows.
I know.
So it is best not to say anything than to condemn him to hell.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the scripture also tells us to forgive others the way we want to be forgiven.
Right.
So
that's right.
We have to be really careful with that, because it may not that be that we went out and killed our children, but with the same measure we meet, it shall be measured unto us, according to the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. You know, our mind and our hearts, we pray that we are not led into that type of temptation, but
right,
that
right.
We definitely need to try and forgive. And then sometimes some of these things that we're struggling with forgiving people is so darn petty. She didn't speak to me last week in church. She didn't call me back. I called her on the phone, or, you know, something that in some instances the other person doesn't even know you did it. They don't even know they did it. We have to be careful with that also. There are so many critical things, that serious things that people, infractions that people make, like this killing somebody, you know, that's a serious situation that I would not want to, you know, have to try to, you know, manage. But let's just, you know, like the scripture says, as much as it lies within us to be at peace with all men.
Right.
And I find that when you're walking around and you haven't forgiven somebody, you're the only one that's in pain.
Right.
The person has usually forgotten all about it.
The other thing,
what I also think about, if you're holding on to this anger, what happens if you really need to pray to the Most High? You can't. Mm. You really can't. Because, first of all, he said the Holy Spirit won't even dwell in that house where you're
That's
holding
right.
it. So it's like
right.
you can't. The hate and the in your heart and love at the same time, they just don't go together, you know. So those are things you got to be mindful of, because I remember when my son had gotten shot, and I knew that there were so many people I could turn around and blame and hate for, but I knew I had to forgive these people, because in a way, you know, I felt like some of this could have been prevented if they hadn't did thus and so. But I knew that I needed to pray for him right then. So I had to forgive these people, you know, right on the spot, because I knew the Most High would not hear my prayer. So I'm saying sometimes you have to think about how is the Most High hearing you? if you know, mm-hmm. when you need it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what else I thought of was, go ahead, Sister Jackie, go on. You go first.
I was just going to say it goes so deeper than the eye, deeper than ourselves. It's bigger than us. You know, like our sister said, she had to think about, I got to pray for my son. I ain't got time to be mad at nobody, because if you mad and
right.
you trying to pray for your,
right.
you mad and you trying to pray for your loved one, your prayer ain't going nowhere. Say nowhere.
Right.
It ain't going
exactly.
nowhere. It's going to bounce up against the wall and come back to you until you forgive.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
You know, and so
right.
it's so much, it impacts so many people. You
it
know,
does.
When we don't forgive, or you forgive and you say, I'm going to forgive you, but I ain't going to speak to you. What kind of mess is that?
Yeah,
let's bring this home. Let's drive this to GOCC. Now, we come to our church. Because I've had some personal encounters with this spirit, not the person,
mm.
the spirit of
mm.
unforgiveness, where I went through
mm.
all the steps, according to the B-I-B-L-E, amen? I went through all the steps. And this spirit that's on this person will not forgive. And this spirit will come up, this spirit will see me talking to other people. They will come right to that person and say, Shalom, I love you, and won't even open their mouth to say hi to me. And it's like, oh, my God, how can we be sitting up listening to the same words
right.
okay.
all of us are acting in forgiveness, and then the other one has got this spirit that's resting, tormenting them with hatefulness. And we're
mm-hmm.
nurturing.
Somebody,
we're holding
somebody
on
get
to
a
that.
Fan and, somebody get a fan and fan, Jackie. You know,
but you know what, Jackie can laugh out loud because
Take a deep breath, Jackie. Mercy. We can almost.
It's the water hose, Shirley. You're gonna have to hose her down. She lost it.
Exactly. Hose her down. Hose her down.
Your memory became real, boy.
I'm telling you, it's like, you know, what happened here?
You know, we have to personalize this, because I think sometimes when we talk and we share about things, people get the impression we're talking about people outside of our spectrum. We talk about the Christians. No, we're talking about
ourselves. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Well, you know, sometimes we're talking, Jackie, sometimes we're talking about us.
Yeah,
you know, because our feet are made out of clay, and sometimes
right.
we fall short
that's
into
right.
that same place. It depends on what somebody did to you. You may not say nothing about it, and you may look at them and side-eye them when you turn your head. You know, we've all had that experience. We've had it, and we
uh-huh.
really need to be in prayer in our souls that the Most High can wipe. I mean, hey, you can live in the house with your husband and he walk in the door, hey, honey, how you? And turn your head, you sorry, so and so. No. You're annoying about something.
You're
so
right.
It's not like this is not part of our lives. It happens.
Yes, like,
yeah.
Don't act like something strange happened.
These things happen to us so that we can grow in grace, we can
that's
grow
right.
our faith, and we
yes,
can exercise
yes.
our faith. Because we
that's
do
right.
have a choice.
We
can operate in the flesh, or we can operate in the spirit.
Right.
Yeah,
I wanted to add something too about what the sister wrote in. She said that if she forgives and forgets, is that going to come back at her? Like the one says that, like almost history, if you don't know what happened, you're bound to repeat it. But see, that's the world. And we're in an
yes.
upside down world. And everything
yes,
that we
yes,
do is in
yes.
reverse to the rest of the world. And we have to trust that the Most High is going to protect us from any of this foolishness if we open up our hearts and say, Lord, I forgive that person for what they did, and I'm going to treat them as if they never did this before and just love them and you watch over me. Because even if it is your husband that did that to you, you have to forget it. You can let the Most High guard your heart, and the angels camp around us, because the Most High is going, he's not going to let anything happen to you that he doesn't want to happen.
That's right.
So
that's right.
No one is that strong to know the thoughts of another person, but we do know the Most High said in Jeremiah that his plans for us are good. So he's going to watch over.
I'm going to give you this. Matthew 10:42 says, and there's so much more to this, but just giving you this portion, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones, and little could mean anything. Little could mean some bum on the street. Little could mean someone who has little faith. Little could mean, you know, anything, right? But to these little ones, a cup of cold water, so if this is intentional, a cup of cold water, only in the name of disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That wasn't exactly the one. Let me see something. Here's Mark 9:41. It says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So for her worrying about, she's going to have to repeat that or what have you. If the Most High truly is in charge of our lives, whatever is repeated on us is because the Most High allowed it. You understand what I'm saying? If he's repeating something on us, almost like the Hebrews that were in the wilderness where they had to keep walking around that mountain, walking around that mountain and repeating that over and over again. Why? Because no more they ain't learned nothing. Sometimes there's something in there for us to learn that has to be repeated on us. And woe unto those that bring the offense. But nonetheless, when we have not learned what a lesson is for us within that situation, it's going to repeat on us. That's for sure.
That's right. That's it.
Let me add this now. The woman at the well, remember? When she came, Christ said to her, go get your husband. And she said, I have no husband. And he said, you said, well, you had five husbands, and the man you're hanging out with right now isn't even your husband. Mm-hmm. And what that made me think of when you were talking about that is, was that woman doing the same thing? Repeating, not learning the lesson. So it causes us to just get married over and over again. And, you know, they said that it's a 51% chance of you getting a divorce, I think, on the first time. But then when you get married the second time, it's a 67% chance you're going to get a divorce. So it gets higher. That's a mess. So we go around these mountains through various things that we do. And we don't learn. It's like that guy said, if you want a different outcome, change what you're doing. We don't change what
And so forgiving someone will help us to change what we're doing. That's number one. It will help us because it will give us clarity of mind. I know darn well when you're angry at somebody, you can't even think. I want to move on to the next question unless you guys have more to add there.
Well, I just wanted to say I know people that the Bible says be angry and sin not. But it also says the sun go down on your anger. So in that time, you know what I'm saying, you're not supposed to allow that to go to the next day. Because you just open up portals for the devil. You're opening up a way for the devil to get a foothold. Because he will start adding stuff. Why?
Whereas, I'm sorry. I'm just saying that. Yeah. I didn't just say that because when you see people like you, might as well say, you know, you've been up for a long time, huh, brother?
Yeah. And, you know, that always comes to my mind is Philippians 4 and 8 when it talks about whatever is good and pure.
Right.
You're mad. You can't think on good things. You don't think.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, your thoughts are so horrid.
Right.
Yeah.
You're committing murder in your thoughts, because as the scripture says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer.
Right.
Yeah. You really have lost.
Ooh, you're a murderer.
But the other thing, too, we keep you know, going into God's business. He says vengeance belongs to him. Not
until
all of a sudden we've decided, no. He's not going to handle this right. I'll show him how to do it, you know.
We're in God's business, Sheila. You know that, or you know we're in God's business. I mean, you just think about what Sarah did. She had to get into God's business. No, I'll handle this.
Yeah.
Not how old I am.
Stay out of God's business, because he knows what he's doing.
That's the one time you could let somebody say, stay in your place, and that's what you need to do. Study, just be quiet. Stay in your place.
And you know what?
Yeah.
The scary part is, I think it's mostly women that do that. Maybe because we're supposed to be helpers, but we always got to help somebody out. And it was Sarah's idea to bring Hagar. She had to be kidding. I only got to help with that plan.
Well, look, it was Eve's idea that says, we need to, somebody comes on the news and says every time, let's get smarter. That's just what she said. Let's get smarter.
So we better watch.
Faith without works, is dead. And a lot of times we want to just apply that to different situations, but even when we're trying to forgive somebody, it takes faith, especially if you think that person did something. You got to operate in faith and just forgive according to the word. And one more thing. It says the scripture tells us that the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. You know, and a lot of us, we so knowledgeable. We big in the head. We done learned so much about the truth. We know this. And we so deep. And we know so much, but it's not in our heart. It's far from our heart. It's in our head, and we got to get it on our heart, and we got to start applying it. We are put in different situations so that we can exercise our faith, forgiveness.
Right.
We don't
want
to exercise it. We fail the test.
Yeah.
And that's a very good point, because sometimes we're young, we know a lot of precepts, but we don't have the wisdom to apply them properly. And that's what you're saying. It's just that we're running around here. We haven't really gotten it in our heart. The scripture says to be as wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove.
Yeah, but I've been in the truth 12 years, though.
That's what it is, too. It's like a lot of times you start talking about what you wouldn't do. Wait till you get that. You know?
Yeah, you
so
walk into those shoes.
So we can see.
I think that's really wonderful what you guys are saying, because it points to so many areas of our lives. So many areas that we still have to work on. Asking for forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, moving on, judging. See, and another part of it, and I think somebody brought this up in the beginning, is judging righteously. When you're looking at someone and you see what they're doing and why they're doing it, the problem is we don't know their hearts, so we don't know what compelled them to do what they did. So we really have to try and just let it go. Because otherwise, what I do find is when I have no empathy for someone, oftentimes the Most High will let my feet get put right in that situation.
That's right.
To help me understand what someone else was going through. Like, now do you know who I am?
You know, yeah, you know. The other point, the other point is this. That, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Laura. Right ahead.
But the other point I'm trying to say is a lot of times you get so angry because you want to know why that sin is the same sin you committed. It's just like when Nathan came to David and he started telling him about this man, he gave him a different scenario, and David said, that man should be killed. Where is he? Where is he? He said, thou art the man. So I'm saying a lot of times you're coming out because that's who you are, you know, and, and that makes you so angry because you see you, and it's like you see one of your kids do something that you would have did that's real bad, and it makes you so angry. You understand? Like, that is you, and you better face up to it, you know, and a lot of times we haven't faced up to it, you know what I mean? So it's like saying you're looking in the mirror, and it really doesn't feel that good to see that finger pointing right at you. You got to move that finger out of your face and start saying, oh, no, 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 no. But as I'm saying, that's why you got to be very careful, because when you recognize something in somebody else, it's probably part of you as well. That's something
inside
of
you. That's right. That's right.
All right.
Oh,
so
yeah, I
recognize that other demon. It's like, what?
I have a scripture that says exactly what you're
saying. All right, go ahead,
saying.
Betty. Speak a little louder, Betty.
It says, it's Psalm. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But
that's
now
right.
Have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forced a lie against me. But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
Their heart is as grease, but I delight in thy law.
Mm-hmm.
But it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I have learned thy statutes.
Amen.
The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. So most of it is just a proud heart, you know, and if you're into something with a sister, y'all have disagreement, both of you are acting proud, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we got
to
check ourselves.
And to also realize, and I always feel this way, is that if we belong to the Lord, whatever's going on in our lives has been ordered by the Most High. He's allowed. Our argument is with him. Get on your knees before him and ask the Most High, what in the world is going on here? What am I not doing? What do I need to change, Lord? How can this young woman cleanse her ways? And let just start to the Word of God, because if these things are going on, and sometimes it's just for the glory of God. And if we in that chosen vessel, look out. Look out. Are we going to fail at what the Most High has allowed to happen to us? Let's look at Job. Let's look at Joseph. Joseph in that jailhouse all them years, I just wouldn't understand it. You know, my own brother.
No, I wouldn't have understood it either.
Right.
This is what I'm saying. When they threw me off my job, where I was really ready to leave anyway, I just couldn't. I didn't want to be there anymore, and the Most High knew that. When I was, you know, when the job merged in and found no spot for me, I still felt like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing, God? What are you doing? You know? But it's just that's who my conversation was with. And I really felt angry at all those people in high places. I felt like, fine, I'll go back to law school. I don't have to deal with this. You know, I'll just went in and ran up a student loan that I'm still paying for. You know, so just the idea that you can really mess up, not realizing that sometimes the Lord is just working in your life. Move on, and don't worry about the other things that have happened there for your learning. Let's learn from them. But I want to move on. I want to move on. I've got, and I mean, that. I think we could go deep into that, and we'll probably have a whole session on forgiveness, because it's serious. It's very serious.
It's serious.
But here's something that's way on the other side, and this is from a brother. What are the things that women like about men, holy men, physically, mentally, spiritually, that they are not comfortable sharing with men? No.
Huh?
So,
This is
a guy asking this question.
Oh, God.
That, yeah. There's something that we are looking for in a man. I tell you, and if the part that is where he says they are not comfortable sharing it, because I know when you're looking for a man, look for the wonderful things in a man. I love a man that's spiritually inclined. A man that really is in those scriptures and,
right.
and you know what I'm saying? I think most of us love that, but to say that you are not comfortable asking a man about that, I'm not sure if that's for this show. let's see here. And anybody come up with something, that's the spiritual portion. And physically, I mean, okay, if you have a man and his body is really not cut, as they say, or he doesn't even have a 4-pack or a 3-pack, you know, let alone a 6-pack, you might prefer that in a man that his body is built, but you might not say that to them because, first of all, that it's not trivial, but it's not on the top of the list, you know.
Right.
Right.
It's not something that is going to make that much of a difference when you and him are trying to just get along with each other.
Right.
I think. You know.
I don't know if the younger women feel that. I don't know if the younger women agree with you. You're old. And
thank you. Thank
yeah,
you
that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think you should ask some of the young girls. I think you should ask some of the younger women out there how do they feel about.
Well, I wasn't in the press one. Get into the host queue and answer that question.
Exactly.
I'll
tell you what I'd like. I like a man that can pick me up. Hello. Can you pick me up?
I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
I would like to say something. Any woman in truth, I would like a man that's moving in the right spirit. Because, you know, a lot of men who know the word, but they don't have the right spirit. And then
one of the things he prefaced was something you're not comfortable sharing.
That's what we're talking about. Something that you're not comfortable sharing.
I think that if you ask a woman sitting next to you in the church, what would you like to see in a man? Most of them are going to start talking about, I want to make sure they're spiritually and this and that. But is that really what you're saying, or are you trying to? Do you want somebody that's attractive too? Mm-hmm. You know, because
so
I know when we're
in
the
world.
What I'm trying to explain
is that the right spirit would be a man who is taking care of himself, who is who have means for himself, who knows how to.
Would you be uncomfortable
talk.
Sharing that? Would you be uncomfortable yeah. sharing that with
miss
man?
That phrase.
Telling him that
I like to see a man work hard and in a sense if
I love
I,
to
know,
see men taking care of their children.
Yeah,
but I'm comfortable
that's
with serious. Saying that, but what is it that you would be uncomfortable saying?
Oh,
I don't know.
Well, that's something.
I'm gonna tell you something. So someone
I might be uncomfortable telling a man, look, I like it when you have to work hard. I might be uncomfortable saying that because he might take that the wrong way. But I do like it when a man gets out there, 2-3 jobs if you have to. Let's see it. You know, bring it.
You know what else I love? I love it if you have a project in the house and you can get your man to fix those things. It's just
amazing to me. But
I'm going to move on away from that question.
Someone wrote a question, Cheryl. Somebody wrote, hang on, someone wrote a question in that said, you know, men sometimes want to know if a woman has been with another man in her past. But is it uncomfortable for a woman to ask a man that? Because men feel like, you know, they're just out there having a good time, and they expect their woman not to have high numbers about how many people she's been with. You understand what I'm saying? And if man asked a woman that, how would she answer it if she's in the truth? Would she say that, you know, after Christ, he said, all things become new? Is that, has that been renewed too? And can you ask a man, would you feel comfortable asking a man, how many women have you slept with? A woman can't change that either.
Really, I bring up something that a person can't change. I mean, if something's uncomfortable that I think I should bring up, it's something that I feel that they can change. That's
why?
What I'm saying.
Why does it have to be something that they can change? Why can't it just be something they can discuss? I didn't understand what you said. I couldn't understand you. What did you say?
No, I'm saying if you just want to talk for a discussion, yeah, but I'm saying if you want somebody to be motivated in a certain way or to do certain things, there are certain things you got to be able to understand how to ask a person that, and it could make them uncomfortable. But I'm saying if it's something that, like you're saying, okay, that would be just a discussion, but it's not going to change.
It might change the fact that you don't want to go out with them anymore. You don't want to court them.
But no,
maybe
I thought you meant.
If you think a woman has been a whore in her past life, is that something that a man can live with? And then vice versa.
That's a funny thing, Carol, because that might be a question that a woman would be interested in that she might not want to ask. How many women
do you been with?
She might not want to ask that. And if she did ask that kind of question, is she ready for that answer? You know what I'm saying? And then if she's ready to answer on the other side of that, too. I mean, and it's
interesting.
Sometimes
I thought it was a legitimate question.
Okay.
I thought it was a legitimate question that a woman could say. It's kind of like the other week when we were talking about things to ask when you're courting, like a man in upper age, and nowadays sometimes it's 40s because they've been fooling around so much with Viagra and stuff. You know, some of these men are struggling with certain things. And is that wrong for a woman to know that before she marries you?
Well, you know, that's a difficult knowledge, and that sounds like somebody we need to go to the doctor. Find out.
No.
That's what it sounds like. Because
no, you understand what I'm saying.
If we're dealing with the spirit of truth, we should be able to have these conversations knowing that we come with a story that everybody has to have a part.
Well, see.
So it shouldn't be so much of a problem.
Who's saying that? I agree.
I did it.
Come closer.
You got to come out of that tunnel.
You know it.
She's in a tunnel.
Jackie. She's in there trying to cook dinner while we're on this call. I know who she is.
Okay.
That's okay. You guys, press one, get into the host queue. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know what you think about some of these questions that are being asked, because we don't want to be the only ones with the statements. Like Carol so cleverly put it, I'm old, so I wouldn't say the same thing that a young person would say. You know, I'm not blind, but I'm old, okay? So the thing is, this one getting to the host queue, and let's deal with some of these questions. These questions are way out, you know, but we said we were going to answer them. Let's answer them. So I'd like to say one thing, and that is sometimes you need to ask questions like Aura was saying that have spoils. If there are no spoils, what's the purpose of asking that question? If it's not going to make something better, then you need to leave that alone, you know. But nonetheless, there are, you know, if they bring it out there, what are you going to do? I do see.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. The truth is not always expedient. And I think we've talked about that before. It's not always expedient. That you just, because only a fool speaks his whole mind, you know.
Exactly.
You tell everything, according to scripture. You don't want to speak your whole mind because you can get yourself into a whole lot of trouble. Scripture, another scripture says even a fool is considered wise until he opens his mouth. Sometimes you just have to shut up, you know, and not go that route. But I think it's interesting.
Fine.
I just think, we just, number one, stay away from questions that don't benefit. I think they're geared to just cause trouble. That's what I think.
Right. Well, that says that
you got to be wise in what you say.
It has gender stripes or something.
You say it.
Yeah, that's what I
didn't understand. What did you say? I hear two people talking.
Oh, yeah, I was coming behind you with that. You must be wise in how you say it and what you say. So, I mean, some things is not worth spending a lot of time with. You give an answer and you leave it, you know?
Well, I think
but
I heard over say
it
just
right.
No, it was something about, Paul said something about, you know, you shouldn't even get involved with conversations that have gender strikes or something. I think somebody must know that scripture, but I don't have it right now in my hand. But I'm saying
I don't know what she said. Something about strikes.
No, gender strife. That gender strife.
Right.
I couldn't understand it.
I don't understand why you can't understand that.
I didn't understand.
All right. Let's go to another question. Sister Jackie, you have a question? Any questions from your team?
No, not at this time.
Okay. What about
this
you, Betty? You have questions?
But what is an unlearned questions avoid knowing that they do gender strife? So that's
exactly
what I'm saying. Just talking about something just to be talking about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, because it's just going to cause
exactly
more harm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's a question for you.
I totally agree with that, yes.
Carol, do you have another question or you want me to go?
No, you can go on. Go on.
All right, here we go. My husband does not trust me. Putting it mildly, thinks I'm cheating on him. Lord have mercy. Every little thing I do is suspect. When I go to the store and it takes me longer than he thinks it should, I get interrogated like I'm on trial. I'm trying to be respectful and simply ignore his blustering, but sometimes it turns into a full-blown argument. What can I do to make him trust me? All right. Okay, Betty, let take your hand at that, okay?
Have at it.
You
think about it.
Go ahead, Betty.
You know?
If she thinks about it, I mean, like, again, it goes back. Check yourself. If she's thinking, what am I doing to make him suspicious? And also, look at him. Maybe he's guilty about something. Maybe it's what he's doing. Maybe he's doing something, and so he's putting it off on you. I mean, there is a way to
make
him like
buster.
That. Maybe
how does she manage that? But how does
manage?
That help her? How can
that's a hard one because she's got that's a stumbling block that she has to maybe pray about. If she tried talking to him and explain, and he still can't hear, then I mean she has to turn it over to his Holy Spirit. Yeah.
And you know what I like what I like what Betty said when she tried to look upon the man to see, well, why is he thinking that way? Is this his thoughts being, you know, projected onto me? Or I want to know from that woman, have you done something in the past to make him you? Are you a recovering, you know,
right,
walk out of, you know. what she's asking, though, is what can she do to change his heart? What can she do?
Well,
she
may not
be
able to do
him. She can only change herself.
Herself to ask the Most High how she's going to be able to live with this.
Exactly. Or invite him to go more with her than her going by herself so that he has less time to worry about what she's doing.
Well, I think that she should spend, if I don't know, this is like a you know, we only get like a snippet of someone's life here, so we really don't know what they're doing. We don't know if they're dressing like a hillbilly harlot. We don't know if they're, you know, really, you know, out longer than they should. We don't know what's really happening, but what we can say that's safe is, spend more time in the Word. Spend more time praying. Make him start seeing more spiritual things about you so that he start to trust that you won't step outside God's Word, because God means more to you than anything else. And so to just start to exercising your spirituality more in front of him. Spending more time in the Word. Spending more time. If you're listening to a lot of secular music, turn off secular music. If you're, you know, listen to more of the Word. And there's benefit in all of that. So my if you're dressing provocatively, change that altogether. And I think one of you guys said invite him to come along with you also. And I know interrogation can be a real problem, and I don't know whether this man is in the truth or not. You know, all we know is the little bit that she gave. But what I would do in a situation like that is to try and show yourself to be more holy, and because the Most High is going to fight that battle for you. You know, once you really bring out that righteousness. So Okay, anybody want to add anything to that?
The only other thing I would add is to tell him to go out and get Elvis Presley's song, Suspicious Mind.
Go again. Somebody else has something to bring in. Go ahead, Jackie.
I'm thinking perhaps maybe he has insecurity issues, and like Sister Betty said, you want to examine yourself, make sure you're not adding fuel to the fire, you know, check yourself, examine yourself. But sometimes men have insecurity issues, and I think that it's our role as their women to, like, build them up. Like, they shouldn't be, I mean, we can't take total responsibility for how they may be feeling, but we do have to take some part in it. Maybe for some reason they could be feeling like insecure, like they see you when you're looking at somebody, or somebody looking at you, and instead of you gravitating towards them, you looking back.
So we have we have to exercise our faith and build our men up. You know,
exactly.
We just have to build them up, period. We don't want them entertaining thoughts like that, and we want to be able to leave the house peacefully and come back without them looking at us crazy.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a good thought, Jackie, because I was thinking of that at the same time when you were speaking. Is she a flirt? You know?
Right.
Because sometimes you may not be, but that's, in a sense, cheating also. You know?
Yep.
Yeah,
if so when you hear some of these situations can become abusive, especially jealous situations. A woman could start getting slapped around, you know.
Right.
We hope not.
We hope not, you know.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to bring in a caller and see what she has to say. Area code 240, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, sisters. Yes, I was listening in on this, and I would like to add that all the above are true. I am 60 years old, and I've been married twice. Both of the marriages were beautiful in their own way. Both of them are deceased, and one I got married when I was young, one when I was older. Both of them, single family mom. That has a lot to do with self-esteem, not coming up with your father or reinforcement. It happens a lot in the Judah communities and others. And unfortunately, some don't get to go to church and have some type of foundation or background, Boy Scout, ministers, deacons, brothers in the church. However, the older one had that experience. He had a lot of reinforcement. So he was very secure in himself, very conceited, but yet loving, and also still jealous. And it was amazing because out of all the attention he got from women, he didn't cheat on me at that time. But just to make a long story short, those insecurities still lie within him. And I think because he got so much attention, he felt it was compensating for other things that he was missing. And he always cried out about his dad. And his father passed before they can have a good relationship. And there were other siblings by other moms.
All right, but sister, she's asking, what can she do?
Okay, I tried to talk to him, especially when we got in the church, although it was a Christian church. I even went to counseling. And he was sort of angry with his mom because some situations, the way she was a aggressive single mom. But did the best she could raising three boys and one daughter. No, it was four. And although they turned out great, that inner wound was still there from the dad. And I told him, until you talk to your mom about that or someone you can relate that to, like an older brother or if it's something in the male family that you get that out with, you're always going to carry that burden within you. And then you're going to take it out on the ones that you love when they didn't do anything to you. Because every time you say something or do something, your action or reaction is toward your past. And you're bringing in your baggage from when you was a child, and I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we as women of color are taking on the baggage. You know, we have baggage too, but right now I'm talking about the man that happened in the past, and we try to cover it like someone, I don't know who's another subject, or maybe I missed something, but a lot of times it's covered up with trying to go out and eat, you know, dress real nice, wanting to do things all the time. But that's not going to last forever, because these type of people don't drink, they don't smoke, so they don't have nothing to go to try to numb the pain. You read the word, but I found out when they even read the word or teach the word, they point the fingers at others so hard. But yes, you're going through the same thing that you point the finger at. And I know we see it in the churches today, even in our own. They come across hard, some of the people, some of the things you join in, they preaching to you like they the choir and the anointing is all on them only. But it goes back to what somebody else said, but you need to be talking to yourself.
You're
talking about
look
in the mirror. Right, and this is what I had to tell him. So until you forgive whatever that person did to you, whenever you forget what that person did for you and move on, that will eat you internally. Even to the day he died, I begged him to forgive certain people. I begged him, trying to help him with scriptures on forgiveness and forgetting, even in our relationship before he passed, even about the truth of the...
Hold on, sister. I just want to ask you, did your conversation with him help? Did going to counseling help? Did it help?
He wouldn't come back.
Okay.
He's abandoned his family.
All right.
My oldest kid's been abandoned.
Thank you for that. Try and get to the next question. I really appreciate that. All right. Mm-hmm. So hang in there. All right. Bring in the next question. Thank you. All right, area code 631, you're with the Daughters of Zion. This Vito is a great fucking
guitar player. Shalom, sister. Shalom.
Shalom.
How are you? Hi, I'm trying to move to an area where there isn't so much noise.
Okay.
I just stepped outside. Can you still hear me clearly?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, great. I'm kind of conducting traffic here. Good evening. All right. I say, good evening, beats the heck out of getting run over. Anyhow, I might have come in a little late on this thing, but there's such a thing. Everybody worries about being a woman that's common. There's such a thing as a man that's common to many women, right? And sometimes that type of behavior will reveal itself in other mannerisms. Okay, it's just a matter of you may not have that type of discernment, but we call them red flags. You know, sometimes they're checkered flags, sometimes they're pink flags, but something's going off. All right, at my age, here's how to get around the question. Never mind how many women you had. Got any kids running around? Ever been married?
That's definitely a question.
You understand? I'm in my 60s. I don't care if you're in your 40s. Have you raised kids?
Mm-hmm.
You still know their mama. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes you'll get a little tale that'll indicate that they may have helped another woman, but it's not their kid. You know, how'd you help them? Oh, I bought her an apartment. Step off. You understand what I'm saying? little things will reveal themselves. Okay, everybody's got a meter. Everybody's got a meter. Okay, it's like you can call it the hairs that stand on the back of your neck, or the hairs on your arm to turn the opposite direction. You ever hear the expression, so-and-so makes my skin crawl? That's the hairs on your body turning in the opposite direction. You do have a central nervous system that is connected to your brain, which is where the Holy Spirit lives. We got to look at how we're put together first. You understand what I'm saying? That's all I can say. Okay.
Okay. Thank you for that.
There's also one other thing. There's also a jealousy/insecurity factor, and I'm like digging back 25 years into a relationship I had where we're in the middle of the Caribbean and the person I'm with is getting all kinds of PO'd because people are saying, hey, Jocelyn, hey, Jocelyn. Well, I just had to be down there, and the next island over was Guantanamo Bay. Mm-hmm. And I knew some people stationed in Gitmo. They was on leave. You know, they were in the Coast Guard. I decided to go into another branch. You know what I'm saying? They're still down there. Why, how come every time we go somewhere, somebody know you? I can't take you nowhere. Hey, welcome to my world. You know?
Right.
Some people are just, I can't, some people, they got a thing about a woman shining. Well, you know, when I was standing somewhere looking like a bright, shiny penny, you didn't mind me shining then. What's your problem? You know, you just, there's such a thing as self-defense.
I think you're right. Men don't like their women being known by everybody in the world. But a man, my husband, no matter what state we went to, there was always somebody, hey, man, what's up? And I would say to myself, do you really have that many friends? Because I don't have that many. But he knows lots of people.
I've lived in other parts of the country. You know, I've known people that have been deployed here, there, whatnot. You
Let's
know,
stay on
and
track,
of
guys.
Course,
stay on track. We got a lot of questions.
I'm sorry. Okay. That amount is dwindling. But there's that jealousy, that jealousy insecurity factor is in there, and you also have to go back to where were you when the man first saw you? Where did he meet you? Okay. Did he meet you? Did he meet you in the club? Did he meet you in church? Did he meet you out in the street? Okay, that's it. That's all I got to say. Y'all have a nice night.
Thank you.
All
you
right.
Too.
Okay. Thank
Back
you.
In the- All right. Okay, so I got another question here. Unless, Carol, you want to read one of yours.
No, go for it, sis.
Okay, all right. I was introduced to what appeared to be a really nice brother, and I think he really was checking me out, but I haven't heard from him. I mean, no word about him even considering me. I am looking to get married, and I would like to give it a go with this brother. Is it okay if I ask the deacon if he knows anything about it? Okay. Sister Jackie, where are you going with that?
Can you repeat the question?
I told you we're old. Okay.
Yeah,
I was introduced.
Leonidas moment. Go ahead.
I was introduced to what appeared to be a really nice brother, and I think he really was checking me out, but I haven't heard from him. I mean, no word about him even considering me. I am looking to get married, and I would like to give it a go with this brother. Is it okay if I ask the deacon if he knows anything about it?
I think it's okay. I think it's all in how you present yourself. As long as she doesn't present herself like she's desperate and she's looking to get with this guy to marry him, but if she just casually asks, you know, hey, what is brother so-and-so? You know, don't add all that other stuff to it because then it'll be all over the church.
but you know something,
what do you think the brother's going to think, though, that she's reaching? Do you think that, you know?
Isn't that the protocol?
Yeah.
Is for that woman to go to the elders or that guy to go to the elders and ask. That's part of the protocol.
Okay.
No, but she was introduced to him already. She was introduced to him already.
It wasn't introducing somebody. We meet people all the time in the church. That doesn't mean we're trying to court them. But if you're interested in...
She said she saw that he was into her. That's what Sister Shirley read.
Well, it's not his place in our protocols. It's not his place to go to her. He's not. He is supposed to go to the elders, or she's supposed to go to the elders. I mean, I think we're all reading the same protocols every week.
In my opinion, what can it hurt? What can it hurt? You know, if she finds out, maybe the brother's married. And, you know, is she dreaming? You know, She's dreaming that he's a nice looking guy and she would like to be with him and all of that. If she goes to the deacon and asks the deacon can tell her, well, you know what, he's spoken for, or he's a eunuch, or he's looking for somebody
he's
else.
Moving on.
You know, he, and then she can move on. I think that there's no harm, no foul. That's what I think.
All right, I got more about him. Okay.
I just think it's wise to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she's not approaching him. She's approaching the deacon. So that's the way
okay.
it's
done. Here goes a tricky question. Here goes a tricky question here. And then we're going to bring in some people. Being pinged back and forth. I am a single sister. I frequent the radio show. Don't get me wrong. I love the sisters and the show. But all I hear about are married and courting women. But what about single sisters that want to walk with the Most High and have no prospects for marriage or cannot marry because they are not scripturally divorced or separated? How do we live? We have feelings,
Betty,
and desires.
Take it away,
we
Betty.
Have feelings and desires too. we don't want to fall into sin, but being young still, it gets difficult to stay celibate and keep physical attraction off your mind. What help is there for us? Can we ever marry again?
Well, chances happen to us all. So maybe, I mean, if you're still young and you desire this, you got to stay in faith. But in the meantime, while you're waiting, find something good to do, something creative, you know. Keep yourself busy because that will take your mind off of carnal things, you know. You could do this.
Ask the Most High.
Say that again.
Keep yourself holy.
Ask for that faith with something godly that could be a blessing to the kingdom. And
yes.
Sometimes we think about we really do try to mimic the world too much, and I'm not trying to be hard. Everybody deserves somebody, so I'm not saying that. But sometimes we're just in a holding place, and again, it comes back to our faith. It gives us an opportunity to exercise our faith, and we withdraw every time. Until you exercise your faith, ain't nothing happening. You gotta do where you are. You're not where somebody else is. They working on something else. You might look at other cultures, and they look like, oh, wow, that looks so great. They look like they getting along so good. Not necessarily. That's where they are. And you are at a certain point in your relationship with whoever, or you know what's going on. But you have to decide, Most High, what is it that you're trying to work in me? What do you want me to do? How do I exercise my faith? Not how do I get carnal. How can I get me a man? You know, because that's what the world thinks. Because a man is not going to answer all your concerns and all your problems, you know. A man is worse.
Oh, my God.
Don't we know that?
All married people know that. That's for sure. But in the mind of a single person, and we've all been there, it seems like single people want to get married and married people want to get single sometimes, you know. So it's just that. You know, it's a hard place to be. It really is. And I find that if you just, you know, bury yourself in the Most High, it does help. But when you're very young, even the scripture says you're going to be out there looking for somebody, you know, that, you know, the younger women, they need to go ahead on and, you know, whatever. But they need to talk to their deacons and find out if there is a way for them to get married, because sometimes they're separated for 5 minutes and they want to remarry. Maybe they need to be in prayer about their husbands and that their husbands can come back. I don't know. Here again, we only know portions of the situation. We're looking through this glass really darkly. And so we don't know why there's a separation. We don't know. There could be, you know, you turned into a Hebrew Israelite. I don't want no part of you no more. There are a couple of women in the church like that, that it would behoove them maybe to really be in prayer for their husbands, really, because
yes,
sometimes it's our behavior when we've just come to the truth that can run people away from us. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, sure.
We've got work to do. Say what, honey? Yeah.
May I say that, you know, a lot of times in coming to the truth, you might have a boyfriend and you decide, or just becoming a Christian, you decide, well, you're not going to fornicate anymore. And so that puts the man at bay, you know. Or a lot of women need to check themselves, too. If you have 3 or 4 children by, you know, by maybe 2 different men, or you have 3 or 4 children that you're taking care of, I mean, do you think that you have a lot to do? So you have to concentrate on your children now. Maybe the most I want you to just raise your children and teach them. Get yourself together instead of getting into another relationship, which is going to cause a whole lot of problems with preteens, all that. I mean, really think about your life instead of pining for a man and satisfaction and pleasure, you know?
I guess from our seat, it's easy to say that.
Yep.
It's from our seat. We've been married for 1,000 years, and, you know, the thing is that when you're young and you haven't had a husband, or your husband is, you know, estranged from you, and you're, like, maybe in your 30s, it's a hard place. So we probably need to do a little bit more, you know, considering what these people are going through and, you know, see if there's a way to help them. Like she said, we do a lot of talk about courting and getting people, helping people that are married, but those that are not married need some help. And so we need to kind of see if we can focus on that. So maybe next week we can do a little more talk about that. I'm going to bring in a caller. Maybe she has something
to add.
Hang
on for 1 second, girl. Hang on for 1 second. Mm-hmm. I think Sister Betty had something, too, and she said maybe she can find a hobby or something like that, because that's something that we need to think about is other things we can do, get busy living. But maybe next week or in a coming week, we can bring on a couple of women, young, also some that have made it through quite a few years that have never married, and how they deal with things. Maybe we can learn something from them because, like I said, we're all up there. And, you know, when you're not being tempted by certain things, sometimes we brush it off as, oh, please get over it. But it's not our struggle.
This is
true.
That's
one thing. We need to find people who are struggling with that and let them come on and share.
Yeah. Okay, let me bring in this caller. Maybe she's struggling. Area code. Area code 856. Are you struggling? You're on with the daughter.
No. Praise the Most High. I truly am not struggling. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, if we get busy, well, about the Most High's work, because about the seeking first the kingdom of God, we got to get busy about his work and stop worrying about a man. All praise the Most High for a man. But the man that you really need is the one who created you. Because that's who's going to get you from point A to point B. So as
far
as a sister,
are you single?
I'm a widow. So, yes, technically I'm single. I'm unavailable. But the thing about it is that's not the bane of my existence.
The bane
of my existence is my father. So this is the thing. When the sister asked the question about should she go to the deacon about this man, well, I like the old way. No. The Bible says, I haven't found the scripture that says she that findeth. I found the one that said he that findeth a wife. So he's seeking. He's looking. And one thing about it, if that man want her, he going to pursue and ask about her. She don't need to ask about him.
Right.
Because another thing about a man is if a man wants a woman, there's nothing going to stop him from getting that woman that he wants.
That's very true.
So all she has to do is be available. She don't have to run behind him. She don't have to ask nobody about him. She don't have to, is he available? Do he want me? If he want you, he going to find you.
Mm-hmm.
Sit back and be busy about the Lord's work. Make yourself available in the church. as best you can. You know, help another sister who may need help. Maybe she has 4 or 5 children. Maybe need a sitter so she can work a couple of hours a week. Get busy helping somebody else, and maybe he'll find you working.
Amen.
You working
Amen.
For the Lord and being assisting other people. You know,
this is really good.
Yeah.
This is as a kiki. This is real talk.
This is Sister Kiki, Sister Haba, Sister Keisha. I got 3 names. Everybody know me by all, I hope. So, but that's about it. Maybe I don't want to. Now next week you said you want the women to come on that struggling. I may have to sit that one out, but I'll come in if you want me.
Get over it, honey.
I want
get
to come
over
in
it.
Because of the
and
struggle.
Watch what you say, lest you be tested. Okay, just watch what you say.
I put myself in that position. No, because you don't have a made up mind.
You don't have to put
that's
yourself in that position.
I can't watch what I say. I have a made up mind.
Okay.
And I love the Most High. When I got baptized for real. Yes, indeed.
You,
and it ain't going to change.
That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing that you're saying. You know, we had a wife of a bishop when we were in the First Day Church. And they were older. A bishop died at 99. But she was she was 25 years younger than him. And she was up on the pulpit, and she said that a lot of times, we look at others and say, oh, they shouldn't be tempted. It's just get your mind on God. But that's a hard thing sometimes. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes, like she said, if you had someone coming after you, maybe you would find it a struggle too. I don't know. So don't
people
go tempting
me. People come after me. Oh, they come.
I love it.
Drive by
it's
the back door.
It's
got to
be that brother. It's got to be that brother in the snake skin suit, sister. Just look out. Because they come rolling up in there, breathing down your neck. Look out. You know, you could have some trouble.
It's like you said, you might be
so let me tell you something. I'll give you an example. When my husband was here, he was in the military. He had to go away. I stayed with his best friend. People said, do you trust your wife with your best friend while you're going away? No, your best friend with your wife? He said, no, I don't trust my best friend, but I trust my wife. Because before I married her, I couldn't get none. So I know he ain't getting none. So there you go. So that was, and I wasn't even in it.
Somebody saved this woman. All right, sister, I'm going to put you back in the queue. I really appreciate the commentary.
Well, she's a strong woman. And as that song says, my heart is fixed and my mind's made up.
Well, the thing is, we know it's possible. Joseph ran. Joseph got out of that situation. But we have situations that we can look at. Joseph fled fornication and cut the heck out of there. David fell into it. So now we're talking about two strong men. You know, we're talking about two men of character. Yet one fell and one was able to overcome. So there are questions about it. And then, you know, sometimes it depends on situations too. Because you know how you like you're on a job and or someone's talking to you and if you don't like this person and they keep coming around and they keep saying things to you, might have touched your shoulder, it's sexual harassment. But if you like them, all bets are off, you know. So it depends on the situation, on who it is that's floating your boat and what have you. These things are not simple, especially when you start dealing with those spirits out there, because they're formidable adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
The devil knows who to bring up.
And they're not taking off any time. They're always roaming. And the scripture says he roams about like a roaring lion.
Seeking
he may devour. Yeah, man.
Okay. Here's
we have
question,
to be
guys.
Careful.
Someone said, why should men cover their loins? They're asked to wear shirts that cover their loins. That just seems so overkill, unless sisters' eyes are where they don't belong. So,
what?
They're
you
asking
that
why men have to wear. Why are you asking men to wear long shirts? Anybody
all right. So, like, you ever have someone say to you,
whatever you do, I don't want you to think about George Washington's white horse, okay? What are you going to think about? George Washington's white horse.
Doggone horse.
You keep on putting some man in front of a woman who looks really, really put together, and you tell me her mind isn't going to go there. I'm sorry, it's going. So I think they should cover up. I don't think they should be walking around like a peacock.
Exactly.
Shaking their pecs and all that mess.
Because, see, a man, when you see him and he has his loins covered, his physique is covered. So you're not looking at his physique, because the physique of a man can be very attractive. And so you see how he has this, if he has on a long shirt, there's almost, it's extremely modest and there's nothing to look at. But if his shirt is tucked in and you can see he's cut here and he's cut there, and, you know, a brother comes in and he's got big muscles and he's wearing a shirt that looks like it could fit G.I. Joe, you know, it's just not, it could be very, very provoking. It could be.
Yes, and sometimes men have the bulge in their pants. They get aroused and cover up. And you can't help, you know, but notice it, because my big
Betty,
there.
This is not the Geraldo show.
Ready?
Ready to have a step down. What's that little short lady, Dr. Ruth? We're going to call Betty Dr. Ruth.
No, but you see it, right? You know what I'm talking about.
We're talking about
We need a scripture after that one, Betty.
I swear. And I think Betty should bring it. There's something wrong with her. Okay, I'm going to move on to another question before we get put off the show. Can a bunch of single women hang out with a bunch of single men, like all go to see a movie or like all go out to dinner?
Now, wait a minute. Are we talking about like a group thing, like a whole bunch of people? I don't think it's anything wrong with that. It's problem comes when they start that pairing off.
Yeah.
You mean that's all single? They're all single?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All single.
Well, there's going to be some pairing off.
Yeah.
Right. That's it.
For sure.
Not a good idea.
Sure. It depends. You're telling me a person in their 30s or 40s, they can't go out together with other single people and, you know, even if they should be mature enough to handle themselves.
Or maybe there should be someone there as the chaperone, because if they start pairing off, you're going to get problems.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's the problem would go. But you know what? We cannot shepherd everyone every step of the way.
No, we can't. There's no police.
They have to use some common sense and know that you are sinning against the Most High God. And last and evil days where people, you know, one person asks, why are people leaving the church at this time when this is the time we really need to come together? Well, you know, the scripture says in the last days, the love of many will wax cold, and that there will be some falling away. So those that are deciding that they cannot contain themselves and they have to do things off kilter, it's usually because, you know, the Most High, they've given up on the idea that Christ is returning, or you know, and they're closing their eyes to that. And so we need to make sure our eyes are constantly on the fact that the Most High is watching us. He sees every move we make. And so we as sisters and elder sisters and, you know, overseers in the church, we cannot hold them by their hands and make sure that, you know, don't touch that, don't do this, don't look there, don't go. We can't. Their hearts have to be fixed, like the sister that just got off the phone. If your heart is not fixed, nothing we can do. You need to stay home anyhow if that's the case, okay?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, you know something, I think that that has a lot to do with the courting rules. No, we don't have courting police or anything like that, but young people always hang out together. And it shouldn't be something that we say to them, no, you guys can't go bowling, you can't do this. It's just that they have to be accountable to each other.
Yes,
the girls accountable for the girls and the guys for the guys. And being able to say, okay, we'll meet up with you guys another time, but not to leave a sister there with a guy and say, he'll take you home, because that's the dangerous part.
Right.
And it's just for the safety of both people, because today it's a dangerous thing with the Me Too, and I can just say somebody did something to me or whatever. And we do know that one of the ways that girls would get men to marry them, you know, was to do that.
Yeah.
And that can be a trap. So we want to always try to teach the young men, don't let anybody take you to hell. Because there is a scripture that talks about the beauty is fleeting and what have you. And you got to be careful, because women, we're very, very, we're manipulative. We know what we're doing. If we want a guy, we know how to go after him. And
that's
I know the
right.
sister said, I bet we're not supposed to, but hey, how many things are we told we're not supposed to do and we do?
Okay.
We do.
All right, here goes some questions.
Actually, grown people do not date well, because they will start having fun and then they will say, well, you know, I'm grown. I can do what I want to do, and I'll pray about it later. They'll throw it out the window.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's a reverse to one of the questions that we heard, and this is from a brother. What are three things your husband can do that he may or may not be aware of, that can cause you to not trust him, or cause you to not trust him less and less? I'm not sure what that means. Okay. So
one more.
Are there things that your husband do to make you not trust him?
There's lots
not
of
being
things you
to
can do
himself.
To make him not him
well,
not trust. I think that one thing that a man could do to make you not trust him, and this may sound trivial, but those phones with locks on them and you don't know the password, and if you dare move near that phone, they're about to lose their minds. I know my husband's passwords, and he knows mine. I think my grandkids know them. There's just no secrets in here. No, my baby's always taking my phone. To, oh, yeah, I know the password. Really?
Okay. That's the truth. That's true. You know, if you got nothing to hide, why would you hide it, you know?
Yeah, why are you killing yourself fighting over the phone?
Anybody got something else that they can add to it? This person has three things that a husband can, let's see here. All right. That you can do to make somebody not trust you. You know, there are lots of things that you can do to make it look like you're not trustworthy, but just staying holy is the best way to go, you know, and not have roving eyes. You know, one thing my husband does, I've seen some really beautiful women pass by, and I've never, even out of all the years that we've been married, as fat as I got and all of those things, I never saw my husband carry his head to follow that woman down the street or wherever she went when I'm standing by him. Never seen him.
Yeah,
isn't that horrible to see a man do that when you're standing with him or you're sitting, you're close by and some chick walks past and he's like, oh, my God. He ain't got to say nothing but his head turn. I've never seen my husband do that. And I've never seen
my husband do that either, but
that
would be very hurtful. That's just hurtful.
Yeah, it would make you think, you know, you're not enough for him or something. I don't know what it would do, but maybe when I'm not there, maybe he's looking around. But at least when I'm there, he's got enough respect and regard for me that his eyes are not roving. And so I would say to have roving eyes, you know. That's
well, I
want to
say this.
I want to say this, that considering the way that we're in Babylon and that we've got all over the television, all over the internet, all over in our faces, wherever we go, people walking up and down the street half naked. It's amazing that any marriage survives. I think that we ought to spend some time praying for our men. And I know praying for the women, too, because we're looking now, too. But I'm just saying that this is a challenge out there. And when a woman hears that there is a lower number of available men, based on the mere fact that the wars killed off some of the men, then you've got homosexuals, you know, men becoming gay, and then they're after the men. It's like, how can you find a man? Or, as the other sister said, we shouldn't be out there looking.
Don't forget
incarceration. But I'm just saying. Huh?
Don't forget incarceration.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Incarceration. So many good men locked up and ruining their lives over things that we get sentences that are so long. And you know, it's just like, it's hard. And if you've got a good man, you better stay with him. You better pray for him and ask God to help you and him survive. Because,
yes.
It, you know, it's how that guy thinks it's hard out there being a pimp. It's hard.
Yeah,
your man on the right track.
And
I think one more thing might be, and this could be a lot, but, you know, if your husband comes home and he never is hungry for dinner or anything like that, it seems like he's been out to eat with someone. And it could be very well it, that she can't cook. But those are some things that might make you, a woman that's not secure in herself, think that the man is cheating. But I'm going to throw out a few quick, fast questions because we're running out of time. Another question are, what are some small things that are very essential to loving a woman that men overlook?
Kindness. I think men don't realize
kindness.
That
kindness is
the most, one of the most important things woman could ever ask for. Just have a kind word, not a harsh tongue lashing, always coming at, but be kind. Act excited when you see the woman.
Right. I think a man that's kind is the sweetest thing in the world, a kind man. A man that is kind, you know, and I mean, he may be looked at like he's like a punk or something like that among other men or whatever, but when you have a man that's kind and considerate to you. Now, when I said that to one of the brothers that asked me that at first, before I took the question, you know, before I left with the question, one brother said, well, sometimes these sisters will take advantage of that. What do you think of that? Do we do that? When you have a brother that is really sweet and kind, you know, one guy said, well, men don't talk like that. That's how women talk. You know, but I know the scripture says to be kind. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
That's right.
One of the fruits of the Spirit. So what are we talking about here? You know, but,
I want to say, love suffereth long and is kind. That's 1 Corinthians 13 and starting at 4 is kind. Love endeth not, love wanteth not itself and is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail,
Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abide of faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And I just want to say, those are the things that if a man was like that or a woman was like that, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I love the part that says when I was a child.
That's what you call a marvelous relationship.
Yeah, when I was a child, I spake as a child. So yelling and screaming and trying to get you away as a child. But when you grew up and you acted like a man, you could be kind. You could be thoughtful because you're not puffed up. You're not afraid about what other people think of you. You're just simply loving someone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you told several things that are important. Several things, and I love that. Someone sent another scripture. Ecclesiasticus 42:12. Behold, not every and sit not in the midst of women. Shalom, Sister Shirley, with all respect to you and the platform, why are men allowed to ask questions on a women's show? Personally, it makes me feel uncomfortable when this is just solely a woman's discussion, hence scripture mentioned above. Well, I'll tell you, sister, why I asked a couple of men to give me some questions. And I asked them to give me some questions because a lot of times we think we know what a man is thinking, and we don't. We think we know how men understand us. And every now and then, we want to understand what's coming, you know, the man's side of it. And I feel like I would like to have a real conversation with some of the men to ask if, you know, some of the questions that we have where we're staring it in a direction that only we think. I wish we had had more potent questions that we could have answered. And maybe it might help some of the things we're thinking. Like when we ask, what are the things that women would love for men to have? Like, for instance, I would like a man that's kind. Maybe they don't know that. Maybe they think we that makes them punks and suckers. You know what I mean? So that's why, you know. And this is like what I consider an open forum. And I apologize that it made you uncomfortable, this, but I just wanted to bring that out. Anybody else got a comment about that?
I want to say something. There was a movie a long time ago called Working Girl. And one of the lines that Jack Traynor said to Melanie Griffith when he saw her sitting at the bar dressed up really nicely, he said to her, "You're dressed the way a man thinks a woman should dress, not the way a woman thinks a man wants her to dress." That's why we would ask a man a question, because we don't know. If we only get information from each other, that's like, we need to go to the source and ask the horse, because who are we trying to please besides the Most High? If it's your husband or whatever, you're not going to really know that from another woman necessarily. Uh-huh. So it doesn't hurt us to get what a man is thinking. We're not asking them to come on the show. We're just asking them for some ideas.
Right. All right, here's another question, and I think this is going to be our last question. I have heard several discussions about not wearing makeup, technically alluding it to be being sinful. I have a red discoloration birthmark in my face that makes me feel very self-conscious. can my wearing makeup be looked at as a covering of grace? Should I let my courting partner see my face without makeup?
Well, could I answer that?
Or Betty, go ahead.
I think that's personal.
Okay,
That gives her the confidence that she needs to go out in the community and feel whole. I think that's personal.
Okay. Sister Aura?
I kind of feel the same way, too, but I think that if she needs that on her, why not? I mean, that's just like a missing tooth. You're not going to walk outside with your tooth missing. You're going to feel some kind of way. So I'm saying,
but if you let recording partners see her.
No.
Well, I think the recording partner, yes, she should let him see it, but she should also have a discussion because she's going to be naked before him. But he don't have to let her wear her nakedness in the world. You know, that's between him and her. Only they should know about that.
Right. Other words, what you're saying is that if a woman has a missing tooth, she needs to pull that tooth off and show her courting partner?
I think
you're getting a little bit, that's a little crazy. I wouldn't dare do that. Look here, brother.
No,
I got one bad toe.
Not when they're
come look at this. You think you can bear this in the bed with you at night? No, sis, you're going to have to wear socks.
Not when they're courting, exactly. But at some point, she's gonna have to show him, you know.
Why?
Or she might want to show him.
No, but Betty, why does she have to show him this? Why does she have to say, look here, brother, this tooth here is hanging off. They say that.
After they get married, right? Should she show him after they're married?
Why?
Because at some
I'm trying
point,
to figure out what is gain. I don't know what's gain there.
At
maybe
some
you're
point,
right.
Her,
maybe I'm wrong.
At some point, her tooth might start to hurt, and she's gonna have to. She might have to share that. She might have to go to the dentist.
I think the tooth situation. I certainly wouldn't want to go there. But I tell you. If I had a spot in my face, I'd probably tell him about it over while he was drunk. No, I would tell him about the spot on my face and see what his response was. And then if he said, look, I do want to see it, if and when we were really getting married or what have you, I probably would let him see that because one day that makeup is not going to be on. I don't know that people sleep in makeup or what have you. But something like that, I think I might want him to see before we got married. But that's just me.
When you meet somebody that really loves you, they love past all of your beauty marks or what you may refer to as a scar. Many of us have them. All of us have a scar. Some are visible, some are not. But if a person loves you, they're not going to love you any less because you have a scar. There's something off.
I'm not sure. Like, say, for instance, if you had a prosthetic, some kind of a leg or something that you could have put on, you didn't know you had a...
Well, you know you can't hide that.
You were minus a leg. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to hide.
Maybe we beaten this subject up enough because this we're going down a wild path right now. I think the first answer was the right answer was this is personal and maybe that's something that a woman has to work out with that man together. And because I'm sure he'll have some things to show her too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not the only one that need makeup, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not the only ones.
I have one sister that was saying that what can she do about her family, that she's the only one in the truth. She has a big family, and her whole family is not is outside of the truth, and they say she's in a cult. They don't want to have anything to do with her for real. Right now she's not well, and they're not even coming to her aid. And so, you know, she would like for them to at least call her up. How does she manage that kind of a situation, that she can get somebody to in her family? How do we bring them to care about us when they think we're obtuse? They think we're out there. They think we're, you know, like really crazy for real. What can we do?
I think we got to learn how to speak our truth, learn how to communicate it, and stand up to for what we believe. I think a lot of times.
Now, Jackie, this will be the first time I'm asking you to talk a little louder, but go ahead.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, LOL. Anyways, I think that it's so important for us to stand up for the truth. Like, we have the truth, but we don't know how to communicate it. And sometimes we can be timid. Or sometimes, you know, we just don't handle our spiritual business right around our family. I have a big family, too. And sometimes they'll call me the Hebrew, you with your Hebrew friends, blah, blah, blah. And I stand up for them. You know, I don't say that about you and your Christian friends. Why I got to be a Hebrew when I got all these Hebrew friends?
That sounds like that'll bring us together real fast, Jackie.
Yeah, but I don't know if this young lady have friends in the body, but I've developed some great relationships in the body of, you know, my Hebrew sisters. And it's
she has good friends in the body. She does, sis. You know what? There's something about that family, that your real family, that you do miss when you're out there.
Yeah,
especially
you love them.
When you have a big family. When you have a big family. Somebody else come in and tell us what we can do to try and commandeer some of our family members. One or two, somebody come.
Well, I want to say something. Sometimes Paul said, I am all things to all men. And sometimes it's almost like that saying that says, when in Rome, act like the Romans. Not asking you to be a sinner, but to show commonality. I'm no different from you. Here's where we are alike. Stop looking for so much of the differences and start trying to show them how you really are the same, except, you know, and then when they get to, well, what's so different about you? Well, I don't eat that, or I love that, or I keep God's commandments as best as I can, and I know you do too. But this one commandment, have you ever thought about the Sabbath day and how important it is to God? You know, we have to be, as the scripture says, as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. We have to know one thing, and that is for sure, that in the fullness of time is when your family members are going to turn around, not in your time. Not when you say, hey, look, here's
that's
the scripture that's going to really do it.
Yeah.
I know this scripture is going to do it. Because it, hey, man, you know, that may not roll off their back, but one day they'll come to you and say, you know what? You're right. And Lord, you're going to, that'll be a great day.
I think it's a very, very hard place to be. And I think that, and I don't know, you know, the facts on one sister, but I do know how it was with me and with some people that were close to us. And what I did learn was stop preaching. Stop preaching to them. Because the more you, especially for the men in the family, Lord knows, my brother, he didn't want to hear anything from me and my sister Carol, because number one, we the babies. Number two, we were women. He didn't want to hear nothing from us. But the thing is that you just got to keep living your life in front of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Keep that gospel seen is better than a gospel heard.
Yes.
And then you have to be, when you get on the phone with them, don't debate scripture. Don't even start talking about the scriptures. You know, y'all should have been, you should have been here. You know, Saturday's the day I worship. I don't know why you had the party on that day or what have you. You have to become, like you said, wise as serpents. That's almost cunning in the sense that when they say something, you're not going to jump back at them. You know,
right.
And that our conversations with them can be comforting and not not judgmental. Or, and I'm certainly not saying that that's what the sister is doing, because I don't know what she did, but I do know what we did. You know, when we first got felt like kicking down doors and letting people know, you throw that out, this Christmas stuff. No, you know, it's not simple. It's not.
Yeah.
And when someone says says Merry Christmas to you, you don't. They don't need the standard lecture.
Yeah, they don't.
Say thank you, because you know what's happening in their mind, what they really need. You cannot start saving someone based on the fact that that you tell them, I'm not celebrating Christmas. When they are
right,
you're gonna have to live your life in front of them, and they're gonna talk about you. They're gonna say things. You got your kid in this home school. This is ridiculous. You know, they're not gonna have any friends. People think like that, so you gotta have that kind of love and respect for them. And then, like Carol said, wait on the Lord. It's so not easy. It's so not easy, especially when it seems like this came to us so easy, but it didn't. It came to us in the fullness of time, and when the Most High opened it up to us. He has an ear, let him hear. You know what I'm saying? So that we had to wait for the ears that the Most High gave us, and we had to wait on our family to have that same ear. But in the meantime, as much as it lies within us, be at peace with all men. Try
be fully persuaded that the fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective and avail much. And so we're to pray for our loved ones and understand the same spirit that drew us in can draw them in as well. And we have to just stay out the way. And sometimes we have to hold our tongue. And like Sister Shirley said, just be a light and live a life that exemplifies Christ. Don't walk around with a long, deep-looking face. Smile. You know,
that's right.
Talk about one of these days smiling like, ooh, some people, Lord Jesus. I'd be like, did we just get out of the same Bible study? Well, why am I smiling and you look so sad? Is something wrong?
And in the meantime,
I gotta tell you something that somebody wrote me in reference to what the other question was. She said, laugh out loud, a man sued a woman after he married her. He never saw her without makeup.
Okay, I got a caller that's going to come in and respond. Area code 585, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, sisters. How are you guys doing?
Shalom.
All praises. Yeah, the last question about family. That's one I've experienced. I would say more so in a negative way, right? You know, I don't want to put all this negative stuff in that sister's mind to ask it, but when dealing with family, it's like, you know, I walk to the walk, you know, I show them which is how I walk in the truth without trying to bait them and all that. And they just simply didn't like it. They didn't like my growth. They didn't like my light coming forth. And so sometimes, you know, I tell sisters when they deal with family, like, don't have expectations, you know, because it could be like either they grasp it and they'll accept it, or they'll totally just deny you it and want to go away from the light that you're on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's something I've experienced, because at the end of the day with my stepfather and my mother, they ended up kicking me out the house for it. And
wow.
they would always come, they would be the ones coming to me wanting to debate. I wouldn't try to do that. I was just minding my business, reading my Bible, wearing headscarves every day, and they didn't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I'm sorry, what's this?
I said it was that scarf, Sister Trust.
That's five for doing.
I'm just
kidding.
I'm just kidding, but you'd be surprised. I've seen men get angry at their wives because of the new clothing, the modest look that they're wearing. So it's not going to come easy. It's not going to come easy. And you may not win them over. You may not.
Mm-hmm.
But all we can do is the best we can, and to just keep the arguments down, because you know what? We should be able to go to our family's house and not have a fight with them, if at all possible. We should be able to sit down and talk, you know, and just have a decent conversation with them. But don't start with scripture. The
right.
only time
exactly.
we can do scripture, the only time we can
it's
do scripture
normal.
With them.
Family.
Yeah. You have to let somebody else break those scriptures down. The scriptures that they hear from us has to be what they see.
That's
right.
You
and,
know,
then
you know,
even
I,
like
I,
you got they got a big pig on the table, you know that's gonna be there. When you before you came,
right.
you knew that was gonna be there.
Yeah,
so you can't be like, you know what, I can't stand the smell of this pig in here. I got to get out of here. Y'all got spirits rolling up in here. You know, we saying things like that is not going to help. It's not. Because we all had our conversation in pork.
That's right.
So, you know, just let them learn. And, you know, you could just politely say no thank you. It's just like, you know, when I was in high school and people were handing out drugs, I just said no thank you. But I still hung out. I was still in the area. I still was there
right.
going to school with the same people. But you don't have to make them feel like, look, you know what? You going to hell snorting that stuff.
Right.
You know. And I'm not, and like I said, I'm not saying that's what the sister is doing. I do know how difficult it was for us when we first became. It was an argument every week. Every week. Because we just wanted to stuff the truth down their throat. We wanted them to, if you could just hear this scripture, then you could turn around. Wait, this is the scripture that woke me up. Listen to this. And we went that route.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. And you're so sure. It's just this time for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you come from a big family, it can be lots of big fights. Big fights.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I remember when Elder Gabar came to our house, there was all 60 of us in there. One night, it was a real tussle in there. You know, it was really rough. And he had to say, okay, you know, because we had family members, you know, and they start pulling out scriptures and slinging Bible sayings and first day doctrine. It gets crazy.
Or Egyptology, and then sometimes they're trying to do the famous stump the stars, you know. Let me just see if I can stump you. They're not they're not sincere at all. They're just trying to mess with you. But you know what? We just have to go on and live and just be calm and quiet. I've learned that, and I mean, I always say I learned it, and all of a sudden I get in another tussle. I try real hard because my brother and push my buttons, and I know he knows that. And you know, I know the one thing that I have found out is that's this: if you get someone to admit that you're right, what does that demand from them? Change. You think they want to change?
No.
There you
no.
go. I don't care if yeah. I even believe what you're saying. I'm not changing, so I'm never giving
exactly.
in.
It's all right, I'm sorry I cut you off. You were saying, and it, you got anything else to say? Because we are getting ready to get cut off, that's for sure.
No, sister, I'm all set.
All right, thank you so much for that.
Thank
all
you.
Right. Sarah, listen, I think this was, you know, a fun night. You know, we had a lot of different
yeah.
questions. You know, sometimes I really wish people would come up with different questions, but the first question I thought was really powerful, and that was the one on forgiveness. And we probably need to do
yeah.
like a whole dissertation on forgiveness, because it's critical to our walk with the Most High God. So,
yeah.
Sister
yes.
Betty, I mean, all right, since the name came out first, Sister Betty, can you pray us out? Unless anybody
okay.
has something that they need to say.
Okay. Okay. All praises. Ahaya Basham Yashayam Wabawak Kadash. We thank you. We thank you for this word and spending this time with one another. And we hope that love has fulfilled the law in our hearts. And we just ask you, Father, to heal the souls of people who are in questions and who need answers. Speak to their hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister, to help. And allow them to ask for the power. Give us the power, Father, so that we will have that strength and we'll have results. We just thank you today, Father. We thank you for this hour right now and the hours to come. And we just pray that everybody, the rest of the week, walk with the Holy Spirit that gives the power and helps us in all truth. And this I pray in Yeshua, mighty name.
Come on, everybody have a blessed night. And send us an email with a message with subjects that are of interest to you. All right,
yes.
Everybody have a blessed evening. Shalom.